Well, if you can make your way to your seats, we'll go ahead and get started. We're going to continue on a series of sermons that we've been doing called The Prodigal, obviously from the parable of the prodigal son. The first sermon that we did, we talked about the presence of God and wanting his presence over his presence. And then we also talked about, last week, we talked about we shared the story of being in the pig pen. And sometimes it takes for us to get to the barrel, the bottom of the barrel, so to speak, in the pig pen, to realize that we need to change and we need to turn around. And that's exactly what the prodigal son did. Today, we're going to be talking about the love of the father. See, the story of the prodigal son is really an amazing story. And oftentimes we get mixed up or we forget that the story is not just about the prodigal son. The prodigal son made some mistakes. He wanted the things that his father could give him more than he wanted his father. And that was troublesome and that was wrong. And that was not the correct way of living his life. Yet, what we learn in this story is that this story is so much more than just about that disobedient son who goes away, squanders his inheritance, and then turns around and comes back. See, if we were honest with ourselves, we would realize that the prodigal son is more about the love of the father than it is actually the disobedience of the son. And today, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about how the love of the father is greater than our disobedience to him. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 15. We're going to be starting in verse 20 today. Let's read it. And he rose and he came to his father. Now, if you remember just the verse before that, what we were finding out was that the prodigal son had been in the middle of a famine and in the middle of the internet not working. He was in the middle of the famine and in the middle of an issue. And he after he got his inheritance from his father, he goes off and he spends it all. And he runs out of money. He finds himself, he hires himself out to the farmer to feed the pigs in the pig pen. And while he's in the worst place of all of his entire life, he begins to think, it's better if I go home and be with my father. And so we find, after thinking all these things and understanding all these things, that he started his journey home. And verse 20 says, and he rose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Let's pause and pray, and then we'll jump in. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for who you are. We thank you that you love us, even though we don't deserve to be loved. We thank you that you call us out of the pig pen and back into the family with you. That you give us the opportunity to be redeemed and to turn away from our sins and to walk away from those things, to be reunited with you. Lord, help us today to learn that your love goes beyond our disobedience, that your love goes beyond our sin. Father, help us today to realize the depth of love that you have for us as we read this story, Father, this parable that your son, Jesus, shared with his disciples. Holy Spirit, we ask you that you just come and that you would enlighten our minds and our hearts, that you speak to us where we need to be spoken to, that you would convict us where we need to be convicted, encourage us where we need to be encouraged, bolden us where we need to be emboldened, Father. Help us to walk in your ways. Lord, I pray that I can speak the truth that you give, speak the words that you have given, and that this message would be your message and your words to us today. Guide us and direct us in this day. We give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So we find the son coming back. But I want you to realize something that happens. Oftentimes we find that the son, he made a decision in the pig pen. He's in the middle of the pig junk, the mud, the grossness, everything else. He's eating the very pea pods that he's given to the pigs. He's doing all of these things, and he has this brilliant idea. I need to go back to my father. I need to be a servant. Last week we talked about the idea that the son didn't want to be restored to sonship. He wanted to be restored to just being a servant. He was okay with being a servant in his father's household because that was better than where he was at. And so he arose and he started this journey back. But along the journey, we find that something happened. Do you know that the father didn't wait for the son to be asked for forgiveness? Did you know this? What did the father do? The father saw him while he was still a long way off, it says. And he felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. See, the truth of the matter is that God's love doesn't wait for us. One of the big mistakes that we make as Christians is that we think that if I just do this, if I just do that, God will love me if I just go share the gospel with my neighbor. God will love me if I just stop sinning. God will love me if I put this addiction away. God is going to love me if I stop gossiping. God's going to love me if I stop lying. God's going to love me if I stop doing whatever I'm doing. You know what the truth of the matter is? Is that there's nothing that you can do to make God love you any more than what he loves you right now in this place. Nothing. There's absolutely nothing you can do. God's love doesn't wait for us to do anything. His love is his love and is free for us. He's giving it to you today. And it doesn't require you to do anything. We make this mistake oftentimes because we want to control and we think that in our mind it's relevant in the culture that we live in, right? In the culture we live in, we don't love people unless they do something for us. Right? I mean, if someone comes up to you and says, I don't want anything to do with you, I don't want to hear you, I don't want to talk with you, I don't want to do anything, are you going to go, oh, I love you? No, you might say, bless your heart. But the truth of the matter is that oftentimes in this world, we don't understand unconditional love. That's what that's called. That's called unconditional love. There's no conditions tied to it, and we don't understand that. We don't understand. We look for, we desire conditional love. We want someone to respect us. We want someone to give to us. We want someone to fawn over us, say nice words, do all of these things. And then because of that, then we will give out that love back to that person. God's love is not that same way. How many times has someone made you mad and you dismiss them from your life? Just think about that. How many times has someone said something wrong to you, said the wrong words, did the wrong actions, and you just said, see ya. Now listen, I'm not telling you that you stay in an abusive relationship, right? I'm not talking about this. I'm not talking about being in an abusive relationship or being in an abusive situation in your life. You need to turn away from that and walk away from that situation if that's happening in your life. But oftentimes, we as humans, what happens is that when we get mad at someone, we don't understand unconditional love. We don't live in unconditional love. And so what do? We dismiss them from our life. The son wanted to just be back in his father's grace. He didn't care that he had to become a servant. He didn't care what he had to do. He just wanted to be in his father's love. What was the father's response? The father's response was, didn't even wait for him to ask for forgiveness. The father didn't even wait for him to come and say, I have sinned. The father didn't wait for him to come and say, I'm going to make reparations or I'm going to pay back what I owe you. The father didn't even wait for him to say, I've changed. I'm a different person. All the father knew was that his son was back. Do you understand that? The father did not even know that the son wanted to be a servant in his household. The son has not said that yet. But the father's love towards the son was that I'm going to run out and have compassion on him, and I'm going to grab a hold of him, and I'm going to love him, and I'm going to kiss him. The real story here is that the father is about the father, not that the son was returning. It's the love that the father had. He didn't wait for an apology. In fact, what we find is that that in some way, let me go back to this verse for a moment because I want you to understand something. The son arose and he began to walk back to his father's house. Now, the distance is, you could talk about it, you could argue, you could debate how long that distance is, but it's some distance that the son had to take to come back to the household. The scripture says that while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. Do you realize that? I hope you didn't miss that. Because what was just said in that verse was that his father was searching for his son. His father was waiting for his son to return. His son was a sinner. His son wanted him dead. His son wanted the gifts that he could give to him. His son wanted all of these things, and he didn't want his father. Now, if anyone had the right to disown him, it was his the father. The father could have said, "See us. Get lost. I don't want you in my household. I don't want you anywhere near me. I don't want you. I don't even want to see your face." But he didn't. What we find in this story is that the father was waiting for his son to come back. And didn't care about his sin, didn't care about those things, didn't care about anything. The only thing he cared about was that his son had returned. God's love doesn't wait for us. God's love is so beyond our decision to return because he's waiting for you to return. He's waiting for you. It doesn't matter what you have done. If you're here today and you find yourself like the son and you find yourself in the, whether you're in the pig pen or you're in the richest stages of the prodigal son story, it doesn't matter where you're at. God is going to wait for you to return. He longs for you to return to him. The truth of the matter is that oftentimes we as Christians, just because we are Christ followers, doesn't mean that we're not going to sin. It doesn't mean that we're not going to separate ourselves from God, that we live in a sinful world and that's what happens. But we have a God who loves us and says, "I am here when you decide to come back. I am here when you're ready to turn around. And not only am I here, I'm going to be waiting for you, longing for you to come back with my open arms so that I can embrace you and kiss you." If you haven't learned already, this story of the parable of the prodigal son, the Father is God in this story. And God is such a loving God who wants us to return to him. He wants us to be with him. He wants us to be in his presence. He doesn't care what you have done. He doesn't care what you have said. He doesn't care your actions. He doesn't care any of those things. All he wants you to do is turn and come to him and embrace him. Now, last week we talked about the steps to redemption, and there truly are steps to be redeemed. There truly are ways to redeem your life and to redeem yourself and make that decision to walk away from where you are to be to the place where you need to be. Yes, and we need to follow those steps. But we have to understand that God's love isn't based on us making those steps. Do you know that God loves even the greatest sinner in the world today? I know that's true because I am one of them. And he loves me. I also know that God loves the very people who spit in his face. The very ones who were hanging Jesus on the cross, nailing his hands to the cross. What did Jesus say? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." It's an amazing story, this amazing love that I don't think we even have an inkling of an idea of how great God's love is for us and for the people of this world. See, too often what we do is we look at someone who has wronged us, we look at someone who has done something against us or something that's made us mad, and that love ends and there's no more love there. Well, you know what? God still loves the people that we hate. Do you know that? The very people that we despise, the very people that we say we don't ever want to be in a room with, we don't ever want to talk about, all this stuff. We get so rage builds up inside of us. Guess what? God still loves them. He still loves them as much as he loves you. That's sometimes hard to grab a hold of. The question I'm going to ask you is, what are you waiting for? See, too often what happens in life is that we have done something wrong. We have separated ourselves from God. We have fallen short and we have sinned. But instead of returning to the Father, we try to fix everything. We try to fix it. I can't tell you how many times I've had conversations, even just this past week, this past Monday, I had a conversation with a young kid that came up to me and he goes, I want a relationship with God, but I can't have a relationship with God until I fix this. And he began to tell me the story of all of these things that happened in his life. It was a sad story, but I looked at him and I said, listen, you don't need to fix anything. You just need to know who you need and come to him. The problem of it is that too often our Christianity, our Christian life, is based upon our actions and not God's actions. Any time that we think that our Christianity is based on our actions, we're wrong. Yes, we are required to ask for forgiveness. Yes, we are required to seek him, to ask him into our life. Yes, all of those things are true. But those actions aren't based upon us. God's love is not based upon our actions. His love is his love, and it is there for us to receive. The son had already made up in his mind that he was going to become a servant to his father, that he would for the rest of his life be in debt to his father. Talking about coming, I give the prodigal son credit because he came to this understanding and he had a life-changing moment in the pig pen where he's like, I'll go back. But you understand, and I told you this last week, that this was a debt that he could never repay as a servant. It would take many, 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 many lifetimes of servant's pay to return what his father was giving him. And so he had this moment in his life, but it's interesting because even in the son's mind, he has been rehearsing in the pig pen what he was going to say to his father. He's been sitting there. Could you imagine? Last week, I think I talked about the discussions that we have in our own mind, but he was having a discussion in his mind. I'm going to go to my father and I'm going to say these things that hopefully he'll just accept me back as a servant and I can be a servant in his life and all of these things. And he's having all these conversations. But in the midst of it, before he could even say those words, the father gives him an unconditional form of love. He embraces him, has compassion on him, hugs him and kisses him. Sometimes we have to understand that our sin does separate ourselves from God. That's what sin does. Sin puts a separation between you and God in your life. When you sin, when you do something that is against God's will, it separates you from God. But we have to realize that God is not waiting for you to fix that separation. His love is still there. All you have to do is turn to him and come back. Do you understand what happened here? The prodigal son didn't ask for forgiveness, didn't ask for anything. All he did was turn, and he started the action of returning to his father's house. And when that happens, when we decide that we're no longer going to live in sin, that we're no longer going to let the separation of sin keep us from the Father, and we make that decision and we turn and we begin to walk towards him, guess who comes out running to meet you? It's one of the things I tell people all the time. Listen, if you're dealing with sin and you're having trouble with it, you don't really have to overcome sin today. When you make a decision to overcome sin, I wish it was like a lightning bolt and all sin is taken away right now. And someday that will happen when we enter into rapture and we get to heaven with God. That'll be a wonderful day. But until then, what's happening on this earth, we just have to make the commitment to turn in our minds and our hearts and start walking towards him. And he will come out and meet you and he will say, listen, let me help you with your sin. See, this is the biggest mistake. We think that somehow we have to turn away from our sin and we have to overcome our addictions. We have to overcome our sin. We have to overcome all of our language and all of our words and all of our mouth and everything else that we do. And we have to turn away from all of those things and we have to do all those things. Do you hear what everything I just said? We. And I'm not talking about the three little pigs. Gives new terminology. That means something totally different to me now that I had a kidney stone and a stent and all of that's removed than what it did before. Sorry. Sometimes things should just stay in my head. I shouldn't speak them out orally, but I do. Sorry.
No, we like you better this
time. Amen. The truth of the matter is, though, is that we should just... If we just turn, if we just make a commitment, God is going to rush out to meet you, and he's going to be there for you, to help you, See, what we don't understand is that God loves you today in all of your messed up, stinky, pig pen, muddy self. Do you know that the Father, it doesn't say that the Son went home and took a shower. It doesn't say that the Son went home and cleaned up. And so when the Father came out to meet him in the middle of the field, not only was he still probably covered in pig grossness, I'm trying to be polite in the way I say this, but he's probably covered in dust and sweat and all of these other things from the journey home. This wasn't like they got into an air conditioner car and drove to the place. He had to walk. And so this walk home was strenuous, I'm sure. Take a few hours of a pig pen mud, byproducts of a pig and everything else, and put it on top of you, add a little sweat on top of that, and you got a recipe for something that doesn't smell so good. This isn't a cologne that you're going to be buying at the store. Let me put it that way. But the Father didn't care about any of that. He ran out and he embraced his Son. He embraced him, loved him, grabbed a hold of him, and hung on. See, we have separated ourselves from God. We have fallen short and we have sinned. But instead of returning to the Father, we try to fix everything. We try to wash off the dirt ourselves. God is the only one that can make us clean, make us white as snow, Scripture says. He's the only one that can take that away. He's the only one that can make us and return us to our former self before we sinned. A better version, and let me rephrase that. He's the only one that can return us to a better version of our former self. Because God doesn't ask us to return to our former self. He returns us to a better place. So when we have sinned, what we have done is we found ourselves in the middle of all of these things. But instead of trying to fix it, instead of trying to do all of these things, we have to understand that it's not about us. It's about God's love. See, this whole entire story is about the love that the Father had for his sons. The love that the Father had for the prodigal son, the one who spit in his face, told him, "I wanted you dead," all of these things, and walks away. That's what the story is truly about. His Father loved him more than all of the things he had did against him. We have to stop thinking that God loves us for what we can do or what we will do. We have to stop loving God for what we think he can do or what he will do. A few weeks ago, I preached on that and talked about loving God not for his things that he gives to us, his gifts that he gives to us, but for who he is. Well, you know, he does the same thing for us. He is the model of love. He is love. He is the one. He is the true version of what love really looks like. And so what he loved, when we see this story in the parable of the prodigal son, what we see is the true idea of what love really is supposed to look like. What love is really supposed to be between a son and a father, between someone who has messed up, who has sinned, who has fallen short, and walked away. If you're waiting to accept the love of the Father until you have made the wrongs right, you'll never get there. I guarantee you. That doesn't mean that we don't right the wrongs that we've done. There is a thing called salvation. There is a thing about forgiveness and walking through all of those things and going through that. But if you're waiting for the perfect situation, there is no perfect situation. Verse 21 says, "And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.'" You know, the story is an amazing story, but do you know that the son asking for forgiveness wasn't for the father? Do you realize all of this? This whole entire journey that the son, prodigal son, has been on, he spit in his father. Not literally, but he asks the father for his inheritance, takes it, runs off, spends all the money, does all the things that he does all of these things. And then when he comes back, he hasn't yet asked his father for forgiveness until this verse that we just read. And the father has loved him. See, this story that Jesus is sharing, he's sharing this for a reason. And the reason why Jesus is sharing this story is because he's he's teaching his disciples and those around him who are listening what the idea of love and what the idea of God's love is really about. And when we understand this, what we understand is that forgiveness wasn't for the Father. Did the Father want to hear his son say, "I'm sorry, forgive me"? Absolutely he does. But does it change the Father's love towards the Son because of what he said or what he didn't say? Absolutely not. There's nothing the Son could have said that would have changed the Father's love towards him. And I want you to understand this because this is so important. Forgiveness, when we ask God for forgiveness of our sins, it's not for him. It's for us. What happens when we ask for forgiveness is we are coming, not only are we deciding, we have made that journey, we have decided to turn away and start that journey back home, but what we do when we ask for forgiveness is that we are positioning ourselves in the right place with God. Because what we are saying is that I have realized my actions were wrong. I have realized that my actions were not in standard with where you need to be. And so therefore, I need to be set free of the bond of those bad decisions that I made. And so not that God, listen, there's still consequences to your actions. Understand that. The consequences of the son's actions was that he had to spend time in the pig pen. And he stunk and he ate pea pods and all of these other things. But when we seek forgiveness and we think that I need to ask forgiveness to the Father because God requires it or needs it for some reason, you have to understand that God doesn't need your forgiveness. You understand that? God doesn't need it. He doesn't need anything. God is the God of all. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He doesn't require or need a single thing, and that includes your forgiveness. But we need to seek his forgiveness. Why? Because we need to remind our minds, remind our hearts, remind our brains, remind ourselves that we are pitiful, sinful people and that he loves us anyway. That he loves us. I just want you to understand that forgiveness is not for God. It's for us. God doesn't need to be forgiven of anything. But we do. By asking and seeking his forgiveness, what the son is really doing is he's coming to a place and he's reminding himself of the decision that he made way before when he was in the pig pen. And he's coming to grips that what I did was wrong. What I have said, what I watched, what I have done was wrong. And so therefore, I need to seek forgiveness, not for God's sake, but for mine. We often look at this and we think that forgiveness is this Christian thing that churches, and including, we talk about this all the time. All the time I will tell you, come and seek forgiveness. Seek God's forgiveness. Ask him. Forgive. We are required to, Scripture requires us to ask for forgiveness for our sins that we have done. All of those things. You know why? That's not for God. God doesn't need our forgiveness. It's us to remind us of our depraved state and where we're at. Because too often we go around thinking, "Oh, look at me, I'm a Christian, I'm forgiven. That means I can do whatever I want." No, it doesn't. God's love towards us isn't based on what we do, and that is even asking for forgiveness. We have to understand that when asking forgiveness wasn't for the Father, it was for the Son. We have to understand that the Son needed it. He needed him to say that. He needed to go to his Father and say these things. Why? Because he was burdened with the weight of all of the poor decisions and all of the things that he said before. He was so overwhelmed with that weight of the sin that was on his life that he needed to just spill it out. If he didn't share this with the Father, if he didn't speak out with his Father and say these things, then where would he be? God's love towards us isn't based upon what we do, and that means even asking for forgiveness. God's love for us, the most freeing statement that I have found in my life is that God's love towards us, towards me, is not based on my actions. It's not based on my seeking his forgiveness. It's not based on how many Bible verses I know or read. It's not based upon how many hours or minutes or seconds that I pray. It's not on how many times I treat other people right or do what Scripture calls me to do. God's love is there regardless of any of that. Now, does that say that we shouldn't read our Bible? No. Does that mean that we shouldn't pray? No. Does that mean that we shouldn't do what Scripture tells us to do? No. We should do all of those things. Why? Because we in turn love the Father so much so that we want to do these things to build our relationship with Him. The Son needed to say forgiveness because He wanted His relationship to be restored back with the Father. And He felt like if I didn't say these things, I wouldn't be sharing how much I truly love my Father and I want to be restored to Him. How many times I just literally I was thinking this week about how many times I have tried and tried and tried and thought about to just how can I do this to make you Lord, I want you to know how much I love you. And I just if I could I'll go and do this and I'll go and do that. And as I was thinking this and I was praying this, I thought of a movie and the movie was not a good movie, so I'm not even going to name the title. But in the movie, this person was trying to absolve themselves of their sin, and so they would literally. And this was something true that a lot of monks did way back. They would take a whip and they would scour themselves because they sinned. If I could just beat myself enough. If I could just do this enough. How many times have we said, if I could just do this, God will love me. If I could just be this kind of person, my life will be all set and my life with Christ will be right. If I could just do X, Y, or Z, or whatever that might be, God would be so happy with me. You know what? God's already so happy with you. And by the way, there's nothing that you can do to earn His love. There's not enough pain or suffering or anything else that you can provide to yourself. You know who wants you to go through pain and suffering for your sin? The devil does. He's the one that's on our shoulder saying, you're not good enough. You need to do this before you can come to Him. You need to get rid of all of this. You need to get rid of all of that. If you're here today and you're an addict and you're having trouble with something, get rid of all of that in your house. Why? Because it's the smart thing to do. That's why Scripture says, the tongue causes you to sin. What are you supposed to do? Cut it out. Right? Yeah. Your eyes cause you to sin. Listen, that's why I tell people all the time. I had a conversation with someone not too long ago, and they were telling me that they were having, it was a gentleman, and he was telling me about this issue he had with addiction to porn. There's no one in church, so stop looking around going, oh, is it you? There's no one in our church, so don't go around spreading rumors. I had a conversation with him, and he said, I really struggle with, he had a TV, an internet-connected TV, and he also had a computer, and I said, do you do this on both? And he said, yes. And I said, get rid of them both. And he said, what do you mean? I said, If this is really your issue and you can't watch TV because of porn or you can't get on a computer because of porn, you don't work on the computer. He worked in a factory. I said, so you don't need this computer. Get rid of it. What do you mean? What I mean is that it's nothing is that important to you. Because what you're doing is you're allowing that sin. You haven't made that decision. You're still a prodigal son trying to spend all the money that your father gave you in the pig pen. But if you're willing to walk away from those things, that means that you are the prodigal son who's now left the pig pen and starting to return to the father because you've made that decision. Get rid of them! But then I reminded him, I said, do you think God loves you because you do this? Or doesn't love you because you do this? And he began to get really upset, and he said to me, he goes, I don't know how God could love me. And I said, you know what? God loves you as much today as He did the day before you started this addiction. But He wants you to be better. That's true for all of us. God's love towards us isn't based upon what we do or we don't do. It's based upon Him and what He has done in our lives. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and his shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. Again, I hope you're picking up these little subtle things that Jesus puts in this story, because there's some amazing things here. The father said to his servant, bring quickly the best robe. Not just any robe, not just servant's robe, not someone else. Like if a visitor comes over, you know, you might give this little robe that you don't fit in anymore, you don't want, you're going to give it to them. Oh, you can use this. No, this was the best robe. Yeah, I know. Don't come to my house. I'm not going to offer you a robe, okay? If you come to my house, I don't have a robe to offer you. Sorry. But it wasn't just any old robe. It was the best robe. And put it on him. Do you know what putting a robe on someone meant? The best robe? I'm sorry? Royalty? Yep. You're chosen. You're royal. You're part of the family. The son has just said to his father, forgive me. I have sinned against you. I've done all of these things. And the father then looks at his servants and says, go and get the robe. Put it on him. That is a sign of being welcomed back into the family. The son hasn't even yet paid a dime back to the father. The son has just barely said, forgive me. He hasn't even done any of these things that he wanted to do, that he thought he was going to have to do, and the father's love for him is already there. Then he says, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Gross, so you're sitting in the pig pen without shoes on? But not only the ring on his hand, which we're going to talk about in a moment, and the shoes on his feet, he says, bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. Now, the fattened calf was one of the prize possessions that farm could have. Why? Because, first of all, well, I don't like veal, but if you like veal, you know, you understand the story here, right? But there's a reason why the fattened calf is special. They hold it up and they keep it in the right place. It's the calf that they have been feeding to make in. It's a special piece of meat that they're saving for a wonderful event, a party, if you will. And the father says, go and get it, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. But I want to talk about this ring because this is very important. First of all, though, before we talk about the ring, I want to talk about, we have to understand that only the best was given to him. Only the best was given to the son. Do you understand that when we, I can tell you countless number of times, when people have sinned and they've fallen away from the Lord and they come back, somehow they think they're second-class citizens. You're not. If you have fallen away from the Lord and you are coming back to the Lord, you are not a second-class citizen. The Lord never considers you that way, and He will give you only His best. It doesn't matter what you did in the past. It matters where you're at today. In God's economy, in God's world, it doesn't matter what we do in our past. As long as we have turned towards Him and we are walking towards Him, the past is the past, and that's where it remains. And we move forward, and you receive the best. There is no levels of, oh, Chaz, you've done this, and so you don't get as much as what Casey gets. Sorry, because you're not good enough. No, God doesn't view that way. Sorry, Casey. God doesn't view that. Doesn't matter what you've done or what you haven't done. God gives only the best. This is a story. Now listen, this is Jesus sharing this story. And I sometimes just got to go back and remind yourself that Jesus is sharing this story for a purpose and a reason. He's not just sharing this because it's a cool story. It is a cool story. But that's not just the reason. He's sharing this because he's teaching. When Jesus shares a parable, it's a teaching moment. And he's teaching his disciples that, listen, you may fall away. Who fell away? A lot of his disciples did. But Peter, right? Think about Peter. Peter falls away. Later on in the story, we hear about Jesus reinstating Peter. All of his disciples, all of us have fallen away. What we deserve, what the son deserved was rejection. He deserved to be said, listen, I don't want you in my household. I don't want you anywhere close. Get out. At the very best, he should have been, oh yes, you can come back and you can live as a second class citizen, a servant. That's what that was. When you hear the term servant, that wasn't being of the father's level and the son original level. It was a servant. It was a second class. And so he deserved all of those things. But what did he get instead? He got the best robe. He got the best calf. He got a ring. He got shoes. He got all of these things. He got restored back to where he was. See, the truth of the matter is that oftentimes we don't feel like we're going to be restored back in God in the way that we were before. But you can be. But it requires you to make the choice to take the step and start walking towards him. Not once did the son decide, maybe I want to be back in the pig pen. Maybe it was better out there. No, the son made a choice and he made a decision, and the father gave him only the best. The same Jesus who said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. It's the same Jesus who says the same thing for you, to your Father in heaven, God himself. He's there and he's saying, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They make mistakes. They say stupid things. But you know what? I died on the cross for them because I love them that much. They deserve only the best. They deserve the best, not some second-class citizen, not second-class servant. They deserve the best. Jesus was willing to give that to them. Now, I want to talk about this ring for a moment. This idea of being fully restored in Jesus was because when the Father comes and he says, grab the robe, grab the shoes, grab the fattened calf, kill it, let's eat it, let's celebrate, let's do all those things, those are all ideas about being restored. But when he says, put a ring on his hand, that is fully being restored. So you have to understand, back then, every family, rich families, well-to-do families, had a signet ring. And the signet ring was the ring that you would wear on your hand, and when you could speak for the family's business, what you would do is if you'd write a letter, you would put it on paper, put it on maybe stone, whatever it was that you wrote on. And then when you sealed it up, you would take the wax and you'd press it down, and it would be, this is just much like what you see in Kings, and it's not the one ring to rule all, so we're not talking about the Lord of the Rings or anything like that here. But what it was a symbol. You could speak for the family. You could make decisions for the family. What you wrote down was for the family. And so when the father says to the son, or when the father says to his servants, go and get a ring and put it on his hand, what he's telling them is that now you are fully restored back into my family. You can speak for my family. You can walk in my family. You can make decisions for our family. You are 100% restored. Now you have to understand something. Scripture says this very quickly. But the people that were hearing this story would have been so astonished that the father restored his son to that point. Because it would have been easy for the father to just say, you can come back and you are my son. Welcome back to the family. But don't speak for me. You made some bad decisions in the past. You did some really stupid things. And you took a lot of my money and you went out and you spent it on frivolous things. And you found yourself in trouble. And now here you are seeking it back. So yes, you can be restored to my family. Yes, I will make sure you're fed. Yes, you're all those things. But don't speak for me. Because your decisions were bad. But the father didn't say any of those things. The father goes, get the ring and put it on his finger. What he was telling everyone around him, and what Jesus is telling everyone, is that when you sin and you come back to God, you are fully restored. God fully restores back to you. Yes, you can be separated. This whole story is that you can be part of the family. You can be a Christian, and you can make poor decisions. And you can walk away, and you find yourself in the famine, and all of the other things will happen. That happens in our life. That happens a lot. The consequences of our actions require us sometimes to be spent in famine, because a famine causes us to be turned back. But when we make that decision to turn back to God and we begin to walk back towards Him, we have to understand that His love is so great, that He loves us so much, that He will fully restore us as long as we are seeking Him. The Father then says, let's celebrate. Today, there's nothing that you can do to keep God from loving you. There is no sin that can keep Him from loving you. In our worst times, God loves us because that is how He loves. Can you come to grips with the fact that there is a God that loves you even though you have done everything to keep Him from loving you? Think about that for a moment. Now, some of you in here are like, oh, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm perfect. You don't understand. Yeah, when you say those words, that means you're as big a sinner as anyone else in this whole entire room. See, the first step to redemption is recognizing who you are and where you're at. We talked about that last week. But when you can come to grips that God loves you even though you made stupid mistakes, when you can come to grips that God loves you even though you have done everything you can to keep Him from loving you, then you can experience what true love really is. True love is something that you don't deserve, you can't earn, but you get it anyway. See, not only are we supposed to walk, this is another sermon for another day, because God calls us not only to walk in the idea that He loves us in that way, but He calls us to follow Him. And what that means, likely, if you haven't figured it out yet, that means that God has called us to love people on this earth in the same way that He loves us. Ouch! That means the very people that spit in your face, the very people that speak negatively against you, the people that say, oh, you should have said... Listen, I've been preaching for 19 years. You know how many people have told me to my face that I should have preached this way, or I should have said this, or I shouldn't have said that? You know what? I don't care. I said what I said, and I'll stand by what I said. And inside of me, I boil up. And I get so mad, and I just want to throat punch someone. I wish Ben was here so I could say that. But outwardly, then Jesus tells me, bite your tongue and love them like I love you. Ha. I'm not you, Lord. I'm going to kick them. I mean, I'm going to love them. The truth of the matter is that if we are to experience God's love in that way, we are called to also love in that way.
That's right.
This idea of this whole story, Prodigal Son, was Jesus sharing this story with His disciples, understanding that that's who He was talking about. He was talking about them. He's talking about us. And He's saying, you have to love me and love God and understand that God loves you in the same way that we're talking about, but you are required to go and love others in that same way. Next week, we're going to find out that the older son didn't do that. But that's next week. I want to just share one last thing with you. I spent a lot of time this week in bed. I was sick. So I was laying in bed, and you know, I was, again, allowing my complaining self to get the better of me, you know, complaining about, oh, woe is me, kidney stones, you know, sickness, found out that I have a hernia. I got all of these things in mind, you know, just this whole list of things in mind. I'm like, God, what is going on? And He reminded me of something that He said to me when I was having kidney stones, and He said, do you think I love you or don't love you based upon what you have to go through or not go through? And then He reminded me, He said, do you think my son, Jesus, who died on the cross, thought I didn't love Him because I asked Him to die on the cross for you? And as I was sitting there, I began to think about this, and I began to think about not only myself, but I thought about being, how do we come back fully to God? How do we fully be restored in God's love? How do we get no halfways, no in-betweens, no, how do we jump in fully? And what it comes down to, what it really gets down to, is to be fully restored in God, to fully get everything that He wants, is to turn and face Him and walk towards Him. That's it. Nothing else. The action, seeking forgiveness, is just a reminder to ourselves of what we need to do, but it's that fully restored. Some of us here in this room, or watching at home online, may have walked away from the Lord. Maybe there's a time in your life that you walked away. You gave up on God. Because God wasn't the way that you thought he needed to be. He didn't answer your prayers. He didn't say the things that you wanted him to say. He didn't do the things that you wanted him to do. You didn't get all the things that you wanted to do. And you walked away from God. I'm done. I don't want to put up with this anymore. I'm too tired of this. It's not working out the way I thought it was going to work out. Listen, I want you to know that God wants to fully restore you and that there's no halfway with God's love. God wants you to be 100% restored. He longs for you to be restored in him. He never went anywhere. See, this is what you have to understand. The Father never left the farm. The Father was always there. He was always at the homestead. He was always there. He never left. It was his son who left. And so you have to understand is that when we fall away from God, what we have done is we have made a decision to leave the Father. The Father hasn't left us. The Father was actually with the Son in the pig pen. Do you understand that? Because his love was there. The Father was with the Son everywhere he went. God is with us no matter where you go. You think you can walk away from God, but you really can't. Where are you going to go that he's not? Scripture says. You can hide in the mountains, but he's there. You can hide in the caves, but he's there. You go to the bottom of the ocean, but he's there. God is always there. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. The problem that we have is that we have a hard time fathoming this kind of love because it's not displayed here on this earth. God's love is truly what love should look like. It's truly what we should be walking in. We should be walking in that love. We should be doing those things. We should be saying the things that he says. We should be forgiving people who have done wrong against us. We should be not desiring hatred or wrong towards them, but instead seeking to love them, regardless of their actions. Do you understand that? It's the hardest thing to grasp a hold of. But God loves us even when our actions aren't proven to be loved. Romans 5 says that I skipped over that verse and I meant to read it, but it says that yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's right. While you were still sinners, while you were still wallowing in the pig pen of your sin, while you were still doing those things, God loved you. And he died on the cross for you. Do you know when Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago? I know some of you here are really old, Chaz, but you're not 2,000 years old. I guarantee you that. He's not much older than I am, so I can tease him on that. But you weren't there. You were not even your mom and dad weren't even here 2,000 years ago. Just think about it. But Christ died on the cross for you because he loves you that much. And not only does he love you and want to restore you back to that love if you have been away, but he calls you to love in the same way as he does in the world around us. Will you stand with me, please? Today, if you're here and you've walked away and you need to be fully restored to God, it starts with just a simple, I'm walking towards him. It's a decision that we make in our mind. Listen, a lot of churches will tell you that salvation begins when you say a prayer. I tell you salvation begins when you make it up in your mind that you're truly going to walk towards him. You can say any words that you want. Scripture says that if you believe in your... Yeah, I know. I wasn't going to say mouth. If you believe in your hearts that Jesus died on the cross, that heart, that decision that you made inside your heart, it's a decision that you're making. It's not even words that you're saying. It's just a decision. The prodigal son just made a decision to return home, and the father met him and loved him. It starts with making a decision up here and saying, I'm going to choose to return to him. I'm going to choose to walk away. Yes, I need to see, and Listen, I want you to make sure you're hearing something I'm not saying. I'm not telling you not to ask for forgiveness. You need to do that. Why? Because it helps us. It confirms what that decision we made in our heart. That decision that we said, I'm walking away from this. I'm going to be more like him. It starts with that turning. By saying those words, what you're doing is cementing inside your heart that decision you made. And coming back to him. But then it's the fight every single day to love like he loves us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We glorify you, we honor you, and praise you. Lord, if there's someone here today that needs to return to be fully restored to you, may they see God in a new way. May they see you, Lord, in a new way. May they see the abundant love that you have for them that says, I love you regardless of what you've done. I don't care what you have done. I don't care how you spit in my face, spent my money, walked away from me, wished that I was dead. I don't care about any of those things. I just love you for who you are. See, this is, Lord, this is your life-changing love that you call us to walk into or walk in on this earth as well. But Father, I pray if there's someone here today that has walked away that needs to be fully restored, may they grasp just a glimpse of the Father running from the house to meet the Son in the middle of the field. All you have to do is make that decision, turn, and begin to take that first step, and God will come rushing out to meet you on the way. There's someone here or watching at home online that has never given their life to Christ before. May they, as Romans 10 verse 9 says, confess with their mouth, believe with their hearts that Jesus is their Savior, that Jesus died on the cross for them, that they can have everlasting, eternal life. Lord, we pray for those that are making that decision as they turn to follow you. May they walk with you, be with you, be guided by you. And then, Lord, I want to pray for all the rest of us. There are many of us in this room that have been Christians for a long time. Quite possibly have never experienced God's love in that way. Not only for us, ourselves, from God, but that we have loved others in that same way. And so, Father, I pray, Holy Spirit, by your power and your power alone, we can experience that love that you have for us and the love that we're supposed to have for others. We ask you, Lord, in this day, in this time, in this place, that you give us an overabundance of that boldness and courage and strength to love in that way, to be loved in that way, first of all, but then also to love others in that way as well. No greater love is that than a brother who would lay down their life for another. Lord Jesus, help us to understand that you are calling us to love in the way that you love us. And that the only way that we can love others on this earth is to understand that you are loving us in that same way. Guide us, Lord, today. Be with us in this place as we attempt to love others and to learn to be loved the way that you love us. Help us in our weaknesses. Help us in our failures to live in that way. We glorify you, we honor you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. As we worship the song, as we worship through this song, if you'd like prayer, we'd love to have an opportunity to pray with you. We'd love to pray that God's love, that you can have the abundance of the Holy Spirit to walk in that love. But it requires you to take that step forward. And as you do, we'll pray for you and pray with you. Let's worship together.
There I was on death row, guilty in the first degree. The Son of God hanging on a hill, hell was my destiny. The crowd was shouting, crucified. should have come from these lips of mine. Oh, the dirty shame was killing me. It would take a miracle to wash me. And then I read the red letters, and the ground began to shake. The prison walls started falling, and I became a free man that day. Felt like lightning hit my veins, and my dead heart began to beat. The breath of God filled my lungs, and the Holy Ghost awakened me. And the Holy Ghost awakened me. When I read the red letters, and the ground began to shake, the prison walls started falling, and I became a free man that day. God so loved the whole wide world, sent His only Son to die for me. His arms spread wide for the whole wide world. His arms spread wide where mine should be. Jesus changed my destiny. Broken down the red letters, and that ground began to shake. The grace of God started falling, and I am a free man that day. I am a free man today. And there I was on death row, guilty in the first degree. And I've got hanging on a hill, that was my destiny. Then I read the red letters, and the ground began to shake. These prison walls started falling, and I am a free man today.
Lord, you're such a wonderful God. You love us so much, and you set us free. So walls begin to shake as the ground shake behind us and underneath of us. We can be changed by reading and understanding the love that you have for us. Help us today, Father, as we go from this place to experience your love, that will overcome any of the problems, any of the things in our life, any of the negatives that we have grasped the hold of in our lives. Let us overcome those things and be set free in the love of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, you love us. You care for us. You're such a wonderful God that sets us free. Help us, Lord, in this way, in this place, to always know how to walk and how to love you and others in the way that you love us. We are just your servants, Father. I say that in the light of reading the parable of the prodigal son. We position ourselves before you as servants, knowing that we are fully restored in the kingdom of God with you. Help us to walk in that grace and that love. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful week. We'll see you again next week.